Okay, this is Fuse Box number 91, the Alibi Store. And you are talking out of both sides of your neck.
Twice the jabber at half the cost. Welcome in, friends, to this edition of Fuse Box number 91, the Alibi Store. We'll explain that, I promise. And I'm your much smoother than the other leading brand host, Mark Rose, and over there, resplendent, in his camouflage sweats, the Viscount of the VU, Milt Keynes, everybody.
Thank you kindly. Say, did you see the stats on that Wildebeest IPA spot?
As a matter of fact, I did. Yes, Mr. Keynes, I did. Let me backtrack a little bit here and inform our listeners as to what you were referring to. As some of you might recall, we were recently treated to a new beverage sensation here at the show, a brand new IPA, an India Pale Ale, as it is known. This was concocted by our very own Eco and Milo, the Japanese pocket squirrels.
Yeah.
That they call Wildebeest IPA. A very distinctive brand identity was crafted by our colleague in audio alchemy, Jeff Pollard, as that is what he does when he's not selling plasma or other body parts to assist in keeping this show afloat.
Yeah, the thing with Pollard is that they're other people's plasma and body parts. You know? Just saying.
Perhaps. I have no such knowledge of such arcane things, Mr. Keynes. But be that as it mayn't, a little under 1 minute commercial was done for that product, and it seems to be getting popular for some unknown reason. So if you have not...
Well, you're going to bump it again, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We'll tweak the longevity, so to speak, and get it out there once again. But as I was saying, if you haven't checked out that bit, well... You done shoulda oughta do that, as it's fun and so refreshing, too. You can find it on our Facebook page, The Fusebox Show, or at The Fusebox YouTube channel, all conveniently linked here in the show notes just for you.
Yeah, just don't drink it.
I don't know. It has a taste that grows on you.
Like a boil.
Again, perhaps. We have a bounty of stimulating stuff for you, friends, on this edition of Fusebox, not the least of which is a very informed and cogent comment to a story we talked about on the last show regarding the SESTA-FOSTA bills that were recently signed into law that, of course, once again, threaten certain civil rights or liberties. So we asked writer, activist, podcast host, and stripper L. Stanger to weigh in on this thing from a much more intimate perspective, as she's directly affected by these rulings, and she is most eloquent in her response, and that coming up in a bit. And we also have another dashing and daring film commentary from the Video Vixen, this one on a wondrous Grade Z fiasco called... The Dark. But first, I think I should take a little moment here to explain the title of this edition of the program, as it's really very apt to not only this episode, but the very experiences we all seem to be having and living in lately, friends. The term alibi store applies to a carnival game in which the guy running the booth, he'll give you various explanations of why you didn't win after countless attempts, right? You know, maybe you threw the ball too fast, or somehow you violated the rules by leaning over the foul line or whatever, right? But then he often offers you, right after that explanation, a better chance to win.
For another fee, of course.
Oh, yes. But here's the deal. You'll never win a thing. There's always going to be some reason that disqualifies you. There's no gaffe to hide. You know, so if the authorities come sniffing around to inspect or whatever, they won't find anything. But the big replay profits are huge. Until, of course, you or I catches on and then, you know, create a scene. Anyway, it's all very similar to the times we live in. There's always going to be some seemingly, vague, thank you, some vague reason why we can't proceed with some such this or that. And there always seems to be yet another rabbit hole to jump down because somewhere down there is the answer you seek. We promise.
Are you tired of endless video streams of silly animal tricks, awkward human calamities, and half-baked conspiracy theories?
Yeah.
Hi.
Now.
That would be four.
Meh.
On this.
Pich.
Possibly.
Gosh, Uncle Carl. These podcasts are nothing but hot, steaming piles of shit. How does a guy find a decent podcast these days, anyway?
I know what you mean, Timmy. Here, try Fusebox.
Apply Fusebox to infected area only.
Wow! Thanks, Uncle Carl! Fusebox is the shit!
Yes! Relive great Fusebox audio moments of past shows, or current shows, or current shows made previous to past shows, running currently in the past. Feed your ears for hours of not really video, but feels like it, knee-slapping, sometime wholesome, but not really, audio goodness. Check out the Fusebox Show on YouTube today.
And you know, speaking of brainworms, we have this interesting news item emanating from a place near and dear to us.
Uh-oh.
Yes. Oh, and this one, this is a choice one, friends. Seriously. So it seems a mom thought she put the car in park when she rushed back into the apartment to grab some money, right? Well, it appears she didn't put enough English on that parking brake. So the car, complete with dad and daughter, did a half gainer into the apartment complex pool, totally submerging the vehicle. Yeah, but good news, all parties survived the incident, you know, albeit a tad damp. This from the sheriff's department in Okaloosa County, Florida.
Say it ain't so.
Oh, yeah, it's so. You can't make this stuff up. I'm telling you.
So the whole car was like in the pool.
Oh, yeah, right up to and over its deluxe sunroof.
How do you suppose that went? Dad's in the front seat there, and somehow has what, a seizure and can't stop the damn car from moving?
Or maybe daughter, right, was climbing over the top of his head to get the hell out of there before, here it comes, they all gave carpool a new meaning.
What the fuck, Florida?
I'm telling you, we got thousands of them, folks. And we've got this thing here, too. The all-too-charming video...
Yes.
The all-too-charming... you're just a little too excited about that. The all-too-charming video vixen, once again, braves the outer regions of good taste and maybe at times her own sanity to bring us yet another commentary on a film I'm sure you won't want to avoid missing. This time, The Dark.
Another girl, Mooney? I don't have to tell you nothing. You're not talking to some kid, Mooney. You're talking to the father of a murdered girl.
The Dark, 1979. Director, John Bud Cardos and Toby Hooper. Stars, William Devane, Kathy Lee Crosby, and Casey Kasem. For reals.
Who knew that Kathy Lee Crosby had a career before That's Incredible? I didn't. Watch this movie and judge for yourself why her acting career is mostly made for TV movies and television staples like The Love Boat and Hawaii Five-0. More interesting than what this movie is what this movie could have been. John Bud Cardos replaced Toby Hooper as director, and the original premise is that the killer was an autistic child who had been locked in an attic for his entire life. I don't know why Hooper exited stage left, but the producers changed the backstory of the antagonist due to the success of Alien. This movie is nowhere good as Alien. It's not terrible if you're looking for a cheapo, E.T. goes on a rampage type movie. And we do get to see favorites like William Devane, Casey Kasem, Keenan Wynn, and believe it or not, Philip Michael Thomas in a small part as a character called, wait for it, Cornrows. I don't need to say more. Those of you who love this sort of madness will seek it out. The rest will go see The Shape of Water. I'm the Video Vixen. And remember, behave yourselves.
Yeah. I saw that Shape of Water thing. Yeah, I really, really enjoyed it.
Is that the one with the fish sex?
Well, it's really more...
Do I want to see this? That's what I thought.
Thanks to the Video Vixen for that informed read on The Dark. You know, it's funny. I came across that thing out there in the cyber ether not long ago, but for some reason did not choose to watch it. Although I could have at that precise moment.
So it was like between that or watching The Sink Drain again?
You know, there are compelling moments in sink drainage. Seriously. Sometimes it just beats the hell out of network TV. You know what I'm saying?
You know, I still don't know why you folks love those bad films, man.
Wait. What? And you don't? I mean, come on. Nazi love camp of the SS? That's absolutely pure.
No, man. That's one of my top faves. And that is pure art, baby. Pure art. I mean, I think that one even got me a bit misty-eyed during the three-way cattle prod scene. Or those shower examinations. Usually involve some kind of rubber harness and a car battery.
Oh, yeah. That's a great visual finesse, for sure.
The show for everybody, but not everybody will like it.
Back in 2016, on a Fusebox show called The Lap of Liberty, that's Fusebox number 44 for those playing at home, we began the first of a four-part interview with Elle Stanger, who is an activist, writer, and stripper, who is quite the force for change within the sex workers genre. But the effect of her efforts really extend into human rights and civil liberties, and that's why I asked Elle for her perspective on this subject we talked about on the last edition of our humble program, and that was regarding the FOSTA-SESTA bills that have made it into law just recently. And on the surface, these bills seem to speak to controlling illegal human trafficking, which pretty much everybody agrees needs to stop. There really is no partisan side for that aspect of it, but the bills that have passed the House and Senate are a bit confusing in their language and are, as the Justice Department has even stated, unconstitutional in many ways. So I asked Elle to expound on this debacle, as the orange-headed guy had just signed off on them.
So orange-headed guy signed it. I think it was April 6th, but it was earlier. And it was a little blip in the media because everyone wanted to rejoice over seemingly good news. Oh, he signed this bipartisan anti-sex trafficking. Well, of course, everyone's against sex trafficking. I'm against sex trafficking. I can't imagine what it would be like to be made to do the kind of labor that I've been engaging in for a decade where I don't get to say keep the money or have control over my clients, or I'm being kept in a cage somewhere, you know, or I'm giving all my money and freedom to my pimp or whoever, you know, but those aren't my circumstances. So this isn't just about me. This impacts everyone. And what happened with FOSTA and SESTA is it amended Section 230 of the Federal Communications Decency Act, so 230 CDA, and it holds third-party platforms responsible for user-created content. So that sounds really boring, and I understand that. If I send a nude to my boyfriend through Instagram DM or Google Drive or Facebook, that's a third-party platform that I have just utilized for that service. My boyfriend and I are engaging consensually. Under this now passed law, there's no difference. So I already have friends who have been banned from Facebook, frozen from Facebook, for asking for consensual nudes or for sharing them. It snowed in Portland a few months ago. I thought it was funny to write hashtag send nudes and a giant penis in the snow. I'm still in Facebook jail. It's been like 3 days.
Oh my God.
Because they see that now under the law as soliciting prostitution.
Right.
And when there's no difference between asking for sex or asking for sex and giving money to someone or buying someone who you're going to abuse, the law does not see them differently. So this doesn't just impact sex workers, it impacts everyone. And
you know, the way this thing started was the basic implication was that Craigslist couldn't have a personals column. That was the first piece of fallout, and everybody went, huh? That doesn't sound right. But it's so much more than that now, isn't it?
Yeah, because Craigslist and Backpage are quite often named as the reasons for sex trafficking.
Right.
And we know that's just not true. Do people use stuff like that illegally and unethically? Absolutely. Do people do that with every single thing you can think of? Absolutely. So in this case, you have, you know, the bad apples spoiled it for the rest of us, because Backpage really was a great resource for people like me, or people who maybe have even more dangerous circumstances in the work that they do, or their work is more criminalized, to be able to communicate with each other. So it's like, hey, I saw John 45 last week. He was kind of iffy about paying me. I had to ask for the money, and I also felt really uncomfortable. And then other providers, other sex workers, can be like, thank you. Now I will either avoid this person or enter into the circumstances with more information. This is what these platforms are also used for. And when you make it illegal to converse about consensual acts, who are you harming? You're pushing us further underground. I can't advertise my pornography. I can't advertise my webcam that I've created with my partner and for us and for myself and to earn money and to sustain us. I can't do this anymore. So it sucks for people like me. But the people who are most impacted are those who are already the most marginalized, because the people who do survival sex work, whether or not they're coerced, tends to be homeless youth that is also highly likely to be trans, a person of color, have a substance abuse problem, and or all of these things combined. So you can't criminalize people who are doing work to survive, because then when they have a conviction, or they're in jail, or they have fines to pay, how are they going to pay for these? Juno Mack has a whole TED talk about this, and it's why criminalization always hurts people, especially the most marginalized.
Absolutely. And they're talking about prison time here. I mean, really hardcore time. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. If I post an ad for my friend Orchid, we've run a podcast for a couple of years, you know us, Unzipped PDX. But
right.
If I say posted an ad for her, say that she does escorting. She doesn't. But if she did, if I post an ad for her to help my friend make money to pay her rent or whatever the hell, I have just facilitated prostitution of another person under this law. So
right.
I am liable now. I think it's up to 10 years in prison.
Yes.
And like $100,000.
Yeah.
And then if it's two or more, it's like $250,000 and 25 years in prison. What the fuck?
Yeah, it's
this is real.
It's some kind of brain sickness. Yeah, it's getting way out of hand. And again, it's just one of those things. It wouldn't have got, it probably would not have been noticed. It's so under the radar of most people that again,
mm-hmm.
you know, they're not thinking about what this actually means in a much broader picture. Not just this particular branch of work. It's everything. Everything can be shaded over using this kind of philosophy on something.
You know, in the last 100 years alone, how many consensual acts between adults have been criminalized? I mean, interracial marriage was still federally illegal until, I think, 1967.
Yeah.
I mean, gay people have a hard time getting married or recognized. Don't even get me started on, like, so much other stuff. You can't even buy vibrators legally in Alabama. Why do you do this to people?
Oh, God.
I understand why non-sex workers and non-sex working and non-trafficking advocacy groups weren't heard, because we're never listened to. And we know our work, and we know the nuances of a highly stigmatized job and industry better than anyone else. So I don't blame people for not understanding, because it is complicated. Mm-hmm. What I do blame people for is if you hear all of this and you do absolutely nothing, like, go online, go on Twitter, look for the hashtag FOSTA, F-O-S-T-A, and SESTA, S-E-S-T-A. And I mean, there's so much information. There's so much information to be had. And look at the people who are supporting it. It tends to be celebrities who have no idea what they're talking about. second wave feminists like Gloria Steinem, who have said before that end demand is a great way to punish the buyer, when we know statistically over decades of research and reports from sex workers and advocacy groups that any end demand model just criminalizes people. And the last thing I'll say on that note is we're getting lied to by people who have other motivations, like the National Center on Sexual Exploitation. So they send out the little, you know, the pamphlets, the leaflets, or the little things in the junk mail about missing kids. That's great. The problem with them as a proponent of this, and they were a major proponent of this, is they were actually founded as an anti-pornography group back in 1962 called Morality in the Media. This isn't a secret. This is on their website. They conflate sex work and trafficking as the same, and they have for decades.
Yeah, that is what's happening. Yes, definitely.
And we can't listen to anyone who does that.
No, and just to put a ribbon around this thing, what would you urge someone to do? I know it's kind of like the horse has left the stable, but
yeah,
what would you think?
We have to meet people where they're at. And so if people have no understanding or no interest in protecting sex workers, okay, that's fine. Let's talk about everyone else's human rights, civil rights, really. I mean, the Department of Justice called this unconstitutional, and they're right, because people aren't allowed to communicate with each other anymore. The Department of Justice also said that this would take resources away from those from trafficking and prosecuting pimps by directing attention on things with, quote, minimal federal interest, such as two adults trading content over a cell phone. So we can't let this go. What we have to do is search out the hashtags on social media and in the news and tweet back at these people who are like, this is great, and send them some information. Send them, you know, I've written some of the stuff on this. Look for the articles that exist. Go to Google and type, why is FOSTA bad? Mm-hmm. And there is a slew of like information full articles by people who understand this stuff. Share those articles, tweet at your representatives. Like, there is a petition. If you Google White House petition, stop FOSTA, please sign that. I don't know that it'll make a difference, but we don't have that many options at this point.
No.
But we can't let this go.
No, that's right.
The CDA governed the internet for 20 something years. This is the internet we've known, and that's starting to disappear. After May 1st, Skype is going to monitor all of its calls for obscenity and nudity.
Oh my God.
Microsoft already announced this. Yeah, Microsoft already announced this. They changed their user terms. This is not a secret either, just a lot of people don't know about it. Google Drive will delete your content from your own account. These companies don't want to be sued. These companies don't want to be charged with pimping, which is what is happening to the owners of Backpage. They're being charged with pimping.
Everybody is guilty by proxy here. This is an incredible, incredible maneuver. And not unlike our net neutrality thing, which is also just driving me up the wall.
It's a net neutrality issue for sure.
So it is indeed. Another infernal tentacle of this net neutrality debate. And again, shows a huge overreach of authority and attempted erosion of civil liberties that just seem to be pervasive in the last year or so. I don't think that's my imagination. Thanks again to Elle for taking the time to share her thoughts on this mess of a legislation. We do so appreciate it. And yeah, folks, begin at the tweet level, if at all possible. Help to clarify the actual goals of these two recent maladies of law with anyone who is not clear on what they actually mean. And it's not a contentious effort. It's just the truth, friends. So, with that empowering thought, we pack up our house of cards and skittle sideways down the stairs, but not before thanking the stalwart and brave souls that have contributed to this edition of Fusebox. Nico Lane, Eric Newsom, Trista Perez, Jeff Pollard, and L. Stanger. Thanks also to the nimble fingers and whip-cracking technical excellence of Milt Keynes for production assistance and camouflage.
Pleasure was all mine, amigo.
Thanks as always to you, gentle listeners, wherever you may be, for pushing play on this edition of Fusebox. And by all means, do smash the like and subscribe button wherever you may have found this program. Be it Apple Podcasts, Podcast.com, the Overnightscape Underground channel, or a host of other potential portals. We do appreciate that. I have been your not-at-all-certain-that-aliens-actually-like-this-place host, Mark Rose, saying, until our next cartoon.
Fusebox.